I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council to order. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Mike Brown.
Here.
Katie Capelini.
Here.
Doug Hainem.
Here.
Sandy Husten.
Here.
Mark Lukey.
Here.
Todd Milner. Mary Westfall.
Here.
Mr. Milner is excused, he's out of town. We do have six members of City Council present, so a quorum does exist. I welcome you all to our City Council. I know many of you were here for the earlier meeting at 6 o'clock about downtown Sylvania Vision. I'm glad you're still here. If you have questions during council, please raise your hand, and I will recognize you at the appropriate time. This evening, we're privileged to have a scout with us this evening, and a vendor, and Mr. Brown has asked him to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance this evening. Please join us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Additions to the agenda, President of Council Milner is not here tonight, so as agenda item 3A, I will add elect a president pro tem for this evening's meeting. Additions from members of council. Mr. Lukey.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, we have a report from yesterday's employee and community relations committee meeting, and there are two potential action items that came out of that, and that would be an appointment to the Board of Zoning Appeals and then a recommendation on funding community programs in the 2012 budget.
All right. We will add that as agenda item 9A.
Thank you.
Other items added by members of council?
Mr. Mayor. I'd like to have a short discussion on TARDA and Sylvania Township's action last night.
We'll put that on as agenda item 11, TARDA / Sylvania Township discussion. Thank you. Mr. Eichenauer.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Smith?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Rodas?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
And Mr. Mall?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and the agenda is approved as amended. Added agenda item 3A is to elect a president pro tem for this evening's meeting. I need a nomination.
Mr. Mayor, I nominate Mark Lukey to be our president pro tem.
Is there a second?
Second.
Mrs. Westfall seconds. Are there any further nominees? If not, all in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and congratulations, Mr. Lukey. Agenda item 4 is approval of the meeting minutes from our January 3rd organizational meeting and council meetings. Mr. Lukey.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Members of council have been provided previously with with minutes of both the organizational meeting and the council meeting on January 3rd. Unless there are any questions or objections to those minutes, I'd like to move approval.
Second.
One at a time.
One at a time. Then let's start with moving approval of the organizational meeting minutes of January 3rd.
Second.
We moved and seconded to approve the January 3rd organizational meeting minutes as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and the organizational meeting minutes are approved. Now the regular council.
Okay, I'd like to move approval of the minutes of the regular council meeting of January 3rd.
Second.
We moved and seconded to approve the council meeting minutes of January 3rd as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and those meeting minutes from January 3rd are approved. Moving on to agenda item 5, downtown market study. Again, Mr. Lukey, a report on the economic development subcommittee meeting held this evening at 6 o'clock.
Well, okay, those are two things, right, Mr. Mayor?
I think.
We have, we had a very well-attended meeting at 6 o'clock of the economic development subcommittee. The purpose of that meeting was to hear a presentation by one of our consultants about the a potential use in the area off of Main Street, north of Erie Street, as a historic and arts district. That was a study that was done as part of our overall market study for downtown, which is underway at this point. We made the point at the 6 o'clock meeting that the first part of that study has to do with what downtown Sylvania might look like. The second part, and maybe the more important part, is what kinds of businesses are most appropriate to make downtown Sylvania successful. Council may remember that we had a similar situation when we were beginning to concept SOMO. We had a study that told us what it could look like, but we felt that the most important piece of that was a study to tell us what nature of business and activity would be most productive there, would generate the most return on investment. So we need to do that again for the downtown area. And Bill, I'm going to call upon you to give us a little background about how we came to the recommendation tonight as far as the consultant.
Thank you, Mark. And just to follow up on Mark's comments, that with the moving on the planning grant for downtown, we knew from day one we needed a market study to be part of our application when we would go after the tier two dollars. And I did some research and finding and talking to some people, including Boulevard Strategies, who did our market study for the SOMO district. And I also consulted with our friends from Pogemeyer to get some ideas from some folks that they had worked with and could give you some examples. And that's what you'll find in your handout, that Sharon Woods from Land Use USA provided us some kind of with some background of some of her work and what she would do with this market study. And it was my recommendation to go with this based on the what the scope of the study was and the prices.
Okay. Bill, you know, Sharon came down from Lansing tonight, which I think is admirable, and she wanted to see the presentation at 6 o'clock. Would it be appropriate to have her say a few words about her approach to this?
Yes, I think it would be great, and I'm glad she was able to come down and stay tonight. So, right. Sharon?
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and City Councilman members. I appreciate you giving me a few minutes. My name is Sharon Woods. I'm a principal of Land Use USA based out of Lansing, Michigan. And we have submitted an 8-page proposal that also includes behind that our company qualifications, including a biographical sketch for myself. And also, I believe there may be a curriculum vitae in there as well, but also some work samples from prior studies that we had done. Just a few minutes, I want to explain real quickly in a nutshell my background. I have a master's degree in urban planning with an emphasis in geography. It's applied geography. I'm not an urban planner. I actually collaborate quite a bit with professional planners, and I collaborate quite a bit with Pogemeyer Design Group. So I have a relationship working with Randy Melnick on other projects. And so this is a very, you know, comfortable partnership for us. And I actually cut my teeth doing site selection location analysis for Target discount stores. So I spent almost 4 years working in downtown Minneapolis helping Target decide multi-store location strategies throughout the country. And then I was recruited to work for Federated Department Stores, and I spent almost 9 years choosing site locations again for Macy's, Lazarus, and Bloomingdale's. And I left Federated, it was in the year 2000, and I was recruited to come up to be part of the team to save Kmart, and I failed, although it wasn't completely my fault. I was not able to save the company. In the 7 months that I was there, I ended up, they obviously went bankrupt and eliminated, and, you know, the entire corporate headquarters. They're not part of Sears. And at the time, so that was back in 2000, I went into professional consulting. And so I have now been doing that for 12 years. And in that time, I've really shifted gears and have become an advocate for small communities and downtowns and merchants and businesses, entrepreneurs, cottage industries, economic gardening. Those are really, what I've done is I've taken those tools that I learned working for big box Fortune 500 retailers across the country. I've taken those analytic skills and those tools, and I've adapted that to now help businesses and communities identify, you know, what is a retail strategy for their community. So that's kind of a big picture in terms of my methodology and my approach. Again, I use it's a quantitative analysis, it's empirical analysis. We set up a model that looks at supply and demand in the marketplace. We actually measure the magnitude of gap by retail category, but we also go the next step. We help identify what does that really mean, translating that into an opportunity, into a strategy for a community. So it's one thing to come to you and say, you know, there's a gap in the market for 6,000 square feet of apparel space, for example, if we don't have enough apparel stores. Is there enough market support? Are there enough people with enough income and enough import to support, you know, 6,000 square feet of more apparel? But then the bigger question is, how do we do that? How do we get there? What does that look like? Is that one big store? Is it a brand? Is it a local entrepreneur? Do we carve it into three boutique shops? Is it lingerie? Is it infants? Is it men's apparel? What does that really look like? So that's my, in a 3-minute cap, that's my objective for you, is to help you identify exactly what is supportable in this community so that we can, and I want to also emphasize that this translates over into the arts and cultural district as well. So when we look at retail, we will also look at entertainment venues and help identify substantiate whether there's really a gap and a economic support for the types of entertainment and venues that we would want to knit into an art and cultural district to really create some synergy, some critical mass that would really be a draw and help improve that import. So these are all those are my key challenges. My goal is to have the market analysis and a report done in 2 months. So, and that's a pretty accelerated turnaround, but that's what we will do in order to ensure that we can have a process with Danielle and with Randy in terms of going after the CDBG Tier 2 grant application. Our pieces is key to that. So if you have any questions for me, I'd be happy to address them now or stay after and address them as well.
Sharon, I noticed your deliverables at the end of the process, you're going to deliver something called a technical report, the narrative report, mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
Will there be, and I don't know whether included in this project is a public presentation of the conclusion. Is that in here? And if not, could we get you to agree to do that for us? Come down here one more time and present your outcome to those of us on council and to our community. As you can see, we have as you saw earlier this evening.
You know what? It's a 2-hour drive for me. I'm happy to do that. Not a problem.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Thank good you. Catch, Jeff. That's good.
We would schedule probably just prior to a regular council meeting.
Yes. It would be helpful to have, you know, kind of a round table workshop kind of format where we can have a good discussion in terms of what are the recommendations and the implications of that.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions you want to make?
No, thanks for coming down. I think that Bill did significant due diligence on finding a consultant. I think the folks from Pogemeyer recommended Sharon fairly highly. If you looked at the materials in the back of her presentation, you saw that she's worked on a number of projects that we've actually heard of. And I need to point out that she was involved with the University of Toledo's planning of its Door Street corridor project, which I believe is under construction at this point. So we have some local familiarity with her as well. So given the fact that this is a $12,000 contract, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to read the resolution if I could. I'd like to introduce Ordinance Number 9, 2012. Copies have been made available previously to members of council, therefore I'll read by title only. authorizing the mayor and the director of finance to accept the proposal of Land Use USA LLC to develop a downtown market strategy, appropriating funds therefore in an amount not to exceed $12,000, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 9-2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I'd like to add again that at 6 o'clock meeting, we were challenged, Mark and I were both challenged, about the number of consultants we have and the coordination between them. And I want to say it again, that I think it's a strength to have different viewpoints and different information, fresh information coming up. It is the responsibility of this council and the administration to try to coordinate them. But we do need different points of view, and we will form our own image, our own vision as a result. We're not relying on one consultant to give us what the vision is. We're going to come up with our own. But you have to have free exchange of ideas from different points of view. And I appreciate you coming down from Lansing to help us with that assignment.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Final passage. Excuse me, Mr. Hanum.
Yeah, the one thing I want to address is whether, I know we're funding this out of our capital improvement fund.
Yes, we are.
And I wondered if it might not be appropriate. We have this special projects provision in our community programs. And that is also where we have our economic development grants. And I wonder if it wouldn't be appropriate, since we have that $50,000 designated there, and we've already approved in our budget a transfer into from our capital improvement account to our operating budget, to meet our operating budget, if it wouldn't be appropriate to fund this work out of, rather than out of our capital improvement account, fund it out of our already approved budget for special projects.
We have done projects like this out of there before. Last year, we took funds from that same budget to pay for the new community map and our contribution to the chamber directory for the community, so it might be appropriate there. But I need you to remember, we've cut that budget from $80,000 to $50,000 in this right. budget, and we may exceed it, which means we'll come back to you or we'll adjust it at the end of the year.
Right. And that's this. I think it's a special, is it the special projects line? Is that where we fund our fireworks as well?
Yes.
It's just...
And if we contribute to the Jamie Farr, that's where it goes. If we have overtime right. or particular things, oftentimes it goes there for community development. Scott, do you have any other input on that? You think it's all right there?
Yeah, some of the other community development block grant expenditures we put in a strict line item in the capital fund, but I believe the last market study was done out of capital for the special projects fund that we talked about.
Right. I guess I would like us to stay very focused on this budget and where the money is coming from, and I think it would be good to keep that in that fund rather than an additional draw from our capital improvement fund. If there's no reason not to do that.
I think council, though, needs to keep in mind if we do that, that as the mayor said, this is a budget that will be we are going to be wanting to go to as we go through this year.
We've already dropped to $30,000.
Right. So I think we just need to be prepared to have the conversation later in the year that we're going to be over budget in that particular fund if we do this quicker, I think, over budget. So we just need to be mentally prepared for that.
And if you want to do it, Doug, you need to move a
right.
a change in section 2, and we're going to need to get the proper fund number. I don't know if Scott may not know that with
well,
him, but
it,
we can do it by title.
Well, the appropriate fund is the it's our community, it's our
special
general
project.
Fund, community fund, special project fund number 110-7320-51294.
Say that again, 7320.
Okay, so I would amend section 2 to strike the capital improvement fund and insert general fund community programs and strike the current account number and South of Monroe Street project to account number 110 73-20-51-294-special-projects. So I would move we amend section 2 of ordinance number 9-2012 accordingly.
Second.
All right. Further discussion on that? Mr. Smith, I ask you again, are you comfortable with that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Hearing no questions from council, all in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. So now we're back to passing the ordinance. And we've already had a motion to read by title only and to waive the second and third reading. So I need a motion for final passage of revised ordinance 9.
Right. I will move final passage as amended of revised ordinance number 9-2012.
Second.
Been moved and seconded for final passage of amended ordinance 9-2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and revised ordinance 9-2012 is approved. Thank you. Thank you for coming down.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
That I think we're ready to move on to agenda item 6, which is proposed ordinance 10-2012. This is entered into an agreement with Lucas County for the provision of public defender services in Pennsylvania Municipal Court for this year, 2012. Mr. Mullen.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, this is an annual agreement with the public defenders program. For council to recall, this is a contract that's negotiated based upon the usage of prosecutor's time, public defender's time in Pennsylvania court. The hourly charge and the scope has not changed from last year, so there'll be no change in the dollar amounts or the time contributed to public defender programs in Pennsylvania court.
Mrs. Westfall, would you read this one for us?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 10-2012. All members of council having received copies in advance, I will read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into an agreement on behalf of the city of Sylvania, Ohio, with the board of Lucas County Commissioners for the provision of public defender services to the Sylvania Municipal Court for the year 2012, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 10-2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 10-2012.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 10-2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 10-2012 is approved. Just an explanation of our methods here for Scout Adam Bender, and I think you look like students in the back row also. What school are you with?
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. Well, let me explain. We've done it twice now in this meeting. Our city charter requires all ordinances to be read three times in their entirety, and we don't do that anymore because of Xerox machines and now the internet. People can look at these in the community. City Council can certainly see them ahead of time, so we do not spend time doing all that. But the first motion is to waive the second and third readings and to read by title only. The second one is the actual passage of the ordinance, and we're allowed to do that as an emergency measure. That means do it in one evening if we have a supermajority of council, five members or more, agreeing to that. If we don't have that, we'll need to bring it back for a second and third vote at future meetings. Most ordinances pass just as we've done these first two. Only controversial things the council does not feel in agreement on take a longer time to pass. You can listen. We're going to do another ordinance here in just a minute, and we'll move on to agenda item 7, proposed ordinance 11-2012, making certain position and compensation plan changes. Mr. Eichenauer.
Yes, this has to do with the ordinance that passed at last meeting. It's sort of an amendment respecting that particular ordinance. The time that we wrote it, left out two items. One was we are doing a $450 lump sum payment, and in the last ordinance, it only stated full-time employees, it didn't eliminate part-time employees. So this one is kind of clarifying it a bit. The second omission was position of courtroom officer. When our ordinances were codified last spring, when we bring them all together from the year, put them in our ordinance book, this particular position hadn't been created yet. And so when we used our example of all the positions this year, since that was done in June, it wasn't included in that. So in this particular ordinance on the bottom of the second page, we did include that particular position. So this is sort of just a cleanup of the ordinance of last consummation.
Mr. Lukey.
Mr. Mayor, fair to say this is simply a cleanup of the language from last time.
Correct.
We approved it. With that in mind, I'd like to introduce ordinance number 11, 2012. Copies have been made available in advance to members of City Council. Therefore, I'll read by title only. Confirming and amending ordinance number 8, 2012 by making certain position and compensation pay plan changes, making certain salary, wage, and other service compensation adjustments to the codified ordinance of Sylvania in 1979 as amended by providing for a one-time lump sum payment of $450 to be paid on the first full pay period of 2012 to all full-time non-union city employees and court employees whose positions are included in the list of occupational titles of Section 139.02A of the Codified Ordinance of Sylvania, which increase is reflected in the annual wage rate Schedule 4 of Section 139.10D of the Sylvania Codified Ordinances, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second. It's been moved and seconded that Ordinance Number 11, 2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage, ordinance number 11, 2012.
Been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 11, 2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Clerk, please call the roll.
Hussman?
Yes.
Westfall?
Yes.
Lukey?
Yes.
Canham?
No.
Capellini?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Vote is 5-1. The motion carries and ordinance 11, 2012 is approved. Moving on to agenda item 8. The clerk of council has requested council to set a date for our every two-year picture of the new city council and staff. There have been a lot of changes since this picture was taken back in 2010. And Mrs. Lintner, I yield to you. If you'd like to propose some dates or get input from council?
We usually do it before a regular council meeting. I think last year, one last time we got rained out for the outside one. So I guess I'm just trying to figure when everybody will be here, but now Todd's not here tonight.
It's got to be nice out, right?
I mean, for the outside.
Oftentimes the tulips aren't bloom when this picture is taken.
Yeah. And then if it does rain, the inside one could still be taken, but the outside one, you know. But now that Todd's not here tonight, maybe we should wait till the next meeting and talk about it.
But we're talking about an April date, probably.
Or May.
So it's pretty far off.
Do we need it inside and outside? Can we just do one?
I guess it's up to you, because that's just how it had been done in the past. So council's decision how you want to do it.
That is your choice. The inside picture includes staff and the mayor. Your outside picture is usually just the seven members of council.
Or you could do just the council one inside also if you want.
Well, you know, let's try for both. And if it rains, we'll just do the one.
Why don't you tentatively pick a date? And then we'll talk about it again at the next meeting. You could just tentatively pick April 16th.
April 16th.
Why is that? because that's just the last time of year. Well, I'll be frowning.
Well.
Well, everybody will be.
Some of us more than others.
Yeah.
Oh, the day after tax. I see. It went right over my head there.
It actually is tax day.
Yeah.
Taxes are either the 16th or the 17th. I heard they might be. Yeah, they might be the 17th. Sure. We'll all be going home to work on them, right?
Yeah, that's it.
It's okay. A holiday in the District of Columbia on the 16th. That's why they changed it to the 17th. That's why.
I think the 16th is a fine date.
I do too.
I do too.
So what time is that, Margie?
It's usually about 6:30.
We'll just tentatively set that, and then we'll have the clerk bring it back up to us. She'll check with the photographer as we get closer to the date, and we'll discuss it again. All right. Agenda item 9 is committee reports, and we did have an addition 9A tonight from the Community Relations Committee to talk about actions there.
Right, Mr. Mayor. Let's do the appointment to the Board of Zoning Appeals first. As council knows, our habit has been for council appointments to new seats or open seats rather on any of our boards. We've gone through a public process and also asked individuals who have applied for previous appointments and didn't get them if they were interested in this. And we had three individuals that we were considering this time. Patrick Maloney, who actually looked very, very good to us as a committee. He has a background in land use planning, and I think certainly the committee felt that although we weren't going to, we didn't select him, that he's somebody that we definitely want to look at for the future. I had a conversation with him this morning, and he was very willing to have his name held forward to subsequent future appointments. And then an individual named Mark Clark, who is new to the community. I spoke with him as well this morning. I know that Mrs. Hussman had a chance to talk with him as well yesterday. And he also is interested in being kept on as a name that we look at in the future. So the third individual, however, is a person who's been before us before, because he submitted an application to be considered for an open council seat. I don't remember which one that was, but Norman Kennesecker is a associate professor of engineering at the University of Toledo, longtime Sylvania resident. I think his, from the standpoint of the BZA, one of his notable accomplishments was that he was responsible for the coordinated campus land use plan at University of Toledo a number of years ago. So he's done some of the things that this assignment will call for. And of course, he has a substantial amount of volunteer work that he's done in the Sylvania community over the years. I think some of us know him. So I spoke with him, Margie spoke with him, and his teaching schedule will not pose a conflict to his attending the meeting. So we'd like to recommend him as the new member of the Board of Zoning Appeals. I guess that's what Resolution 2 is about. Okay, so that said, I'd like to introduce Resolution 2, 2012. Do we need to do this as an emergency? Do we do resolutions as an emergency? So, okay, copies have made available to all members of council previously. Therefore, I'll read by title only, appointing Norman A. Kennesecker to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a term expiring December 31st, 2014, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Been moved and seconded that resolution number 2, 2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage resolution number 2, 2012.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of resolution 2, 2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and resolution 2, 2012 is approved. I'm sure that Ms. Ramon will get the materials right out to Mr. Kennesecker for signing his affidavit. Yes, okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, part number two is the fact that at our last finance committee meeting, the issue of council's 2012 allocations to community organizations was sent to the Community Relations Committee. We had a extensive conversation about this yesterday, probably an hour or at least, and this is a tricky issue because I think our feeling is that all of these organizations that the city has traditionally funded are worthwhile. However, we are absolutely mindful of the fact that our world is changing from a financial standpoint and that we have to find ways to trim our spending in every way we can. Because it was tricky, I committed our recommendations to writing just to make sure that we have it right and just for the record. And so I've handed out, hopefully to everybody, copies of that recommendation. Two pieces to this. First of all, the committee felt that unlike some governmental entities that just choose to chop funding in one year for these community programs, that we owe it to our community partners to give them a little bit of a warning so that they can adjust their internal financial planning accordingly. So recommendation number one from the committee is that this decrease in community funding would take place over three budget years, 2012, 13, and 14, and that we need to have conversations with each of these organizations very quickly to make them aware of the fact that 3 years out, funding from the city will be substantially different than what has been in the past. I think the second piece then was actually looking at the individual community organizations and making some judgments about funding. And I would say that informally, the committee tried very hard to understand how many, which of these organizations worked with the largest number of people, which ones had the most significant financial need. And therefore, rather than an across-the-board cut, we did it on a organization-by-organization basis. And you can see those in the handout that I gave you. Full funding at the 2011 level for the Community Improvement Corporation. We felt that this was a economic development decision, and we have needed and will continue to need CIC support for some of our community projects as we move forward. The Arts Commission was a subject of substantial discussion, and I think some of us came to the conclusion that we just really didn't know what the Arts Commission did enough to be able to make a recommendation about that budget. So we're going to ask those folks to come in to a future committee meeting before we make any decisions there. Sylvania Area Family Services would be funded at the same level that it was in 2011. And the Sylvania Area Chamber of Commerce and the Sylvania Community Action Team were given a 10% cut from the 2011 level. So that's a recommendation. I'm not sure, Mr. Mayor, where that goes. Does it go to the back to the Finance Committee? Does it go to the Finance Director? How do we want to handle this?
One possible approach tonight is for you to have a motion saying that City Council directs this amendment to the 2012 budget. When you pass the 2012 budget, different numbers were included in the budget, but you also said that we could not expend any of those funds until council reviewed. So we may need legislation when we're done making these changes, but for now I'd like to have a motion directing the administration to modify the budget as in per your report. You comfortable with that, Scott?
Yes.
All right.
I want to have
but
the
other... It does. It means that when these organizations ask for their funding, we can release these.
Yeah, right.
Art Commission, not yet, but
right.
The other ones, yes.
Right, yes. So I don't want to do that unless other members of the committee or council members who are there in the discussion or anybody else wants to make any comments about these.
I just have a quick question, and I don't want to rehash everything, but you certainly made a recommendation on 10% cut in two areas and not in two others. So just, is there like a quick explanation of what your thoughts were there?
To be honest, I think it was a matter of compromise and discussion. We had, as you can imagine, different attitudes about each of the organizations. And I think in a world where sometimes compromise, the art of compromise is lost in the political arena, we were able to come to an agreement that felt right. I think it's important to point out, however, that this was a 3-to-1 vote. So we did have a dissent on the recommendation. So I'd like to tell you it was something more scientific than that, but I think it was...
Did you have representatives come from the other committees and talk?
No, we... You mean from the organization? We didn't. We had their proposals in front of us that were provided to all of us.
For clarification, the CIC, there wasn't any... difference we could do. That is the membership for that. So that had to stay at $6,000. Right, right. And we felt that that was important to continue that relationship. Dissenting vote was mine, and it was because of the cut to Sylvania Community Action Team. Being a board member on that, I felt strongly that that should not have been cut, and that was why I voted no.
And the Sylvania Area Family Services, we know they're detecting this for $30,000, which is a lot of money, so I just was curious on that particular front. And I missed the great people, but I trust the committee shared that out a little bit.
You know, maybe Mr. Brown can speak to this a little bit. I think my takeaway from it was, first of all, they're an important community partner for us in terms of the youth diversion program. We may remember our conversation with the trustees last time, and they actually went back in to fund the community services at some level so that they could stay in the diversion program and provide that service. So that's a piece of it. I would say that roughly, Mike, the two other pieces around that were the fact that they're in dire financial straits and that they provide what I'd call safety net services for our citizens. You know, so that's the last agency between some of our folks and foreclosure in the street. That's exactly right.
Mike, I believe you said they'd already lost the $30,000 grant.
$30,000 JAG grant. Now they're going to reapply for that grant, I think, in July. And we're working on some different fundraisers now. We read in the Advantage this morning that we're going to have a purchase of a paver brick to help, you know, complete the new building. There's been a lot of support from the community on finishing the interior of the building, where a couple trade unions are using it as apprentice training and doing it with no labor cost to us. You know, there'll be material cost, but no labor cost. But right now, they're operating month to month. And I went to the township meeting last night, and there was a lady that got up and spoke about family services. This is a family that was in business for themselves 6 years ago. They both lost their jobs. The private business that they had was selling construction waste, recycling it, and that went south. And she had no idea that family services was out there. Until, you know, it got to her through the school system to the point where she couldn't even pay her mortgage. And family services took that family underneath their umbrella, made sure that they had food, made sure that the kids all had gifts at Christmas time, and I believe they helped with some utility bills. Today, that family is on its feet. They've started a totally different business, which is being very successful right now. And now they're giving back to the community themselves. So the example that she was making, that a lot of the people that they help is very short-term, that really need the help. And it's something that our community is, we should be very thankful we have an organization like Family Services to help those people.
You know, Mary, to be a little more scientific about this as well, we looked, I think the theme was that we looked at first at organizations that had multiple revenue streams and had surpluses, and several of these organizations on our list do, and Community Services doesn't. So I think that was an indicator.
Mike brought up the building that's going on over there, and that is separate from their operating fund. That addition to the building's been in the works for 3 or 4 years. This city council and the trustees have each donated $50,000 to that construction effort, and that was a couple of years ago. We also made it our number one priority in the last state capital improvement budget, and I believe we got $200,000 in the state capital improvement budget, which Owens Community College is providing the Nexus connection that's required now for that. And I went and I challenged the Sylvania Rotary Foundation to raise $100,000 for that project, which they've done. I mean, there's been a lot of funding come together for their capital campaign. And just because they're building doesn't mean their operating budget isn't in trouble right now.
Yeah, our $30,000 is more than 10% of their yearly budget, operating budget.
Their budget's about $200,000 or $180,000 or so.
Right now, because we lost the $30,000 JAG grant, it's like $186,000. Yeah, that's what they're operating on right now.
Thank you. So there, we'd be hard pressed to lose anything.
And I would be pleased to say that I got an envelope from the police chief tonight that I'm going to be delivering from the patrolman, where they've also made a donation to Sylvania Area Family Services.
So you were deciding whether or not to make this as a motion to amend the approved budget, or you want to refer it back to finance? You can do either one.
I think you answered the question. I'm prepared to make the motion for the budget.
So, Mr. Mayor, I would like to make a motion that council accept the recommendation of the Community Relations Committee to direct the administration to implement the funding recommendations for our community services, in the 2012 budget. Right.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Clerk, please call the roll.
Daniel?
Yes.
Capellini?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Hussman?
Yes.
Westfall?
Yes.
Lukey?
Yes.
Vote is 5-1, so the motion does pass, and these recommendations will be incorporated into the 2012 budget. Thank you. And any further committee reports to be made at this time? For agenda item 10, committee referrals from committee chairman. Now let's move on to added agenda item 11, which is a request for a discussion about TARDA and the Sylvania Township decision to withdraw from the March ballot. Mrs. Hussman.
Yes, that was, I thought, very interesting. My husband was there last night and reported back to me that they are taking that off the March ballot. And I think it gives an opportunity for the TARDA board to approach the township, perhaps, and see if they can't work out a deal, so to speak, so that maybe we don't have to face a November election of this. I know, I think it's Mr. Mahoney is trying to approach the state government to get some rules changed so that they can go ahead and do what they want to do as far as getting rid of TARDA and starting their own system. So I think it was wonderful that they stepped back to take a better look and get plans made for their own system. But I guess I'm wondering if we couldn't ask Mr. Ramsdell to ask the board if they couldn't meet with the township or try to come up with some compromises that maybe we wouldn't have to have this TARDA leaving Sylvania Township and then having all the problems that Mr. Ramsdell had brought to us last meeting.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
You know, I did not hear this. I haven't had a chance to see the paper today. Are you suggesting that they made a decision to withdraw from the March ballot with an intention to put it on in the November?
Yes. I think that's still in the works, but they didn't take action on that last night. So I think there's a window here that, you know, last ditch effort or whatever. I don't know. Yep.
You can certainly send a recommendation to our representative on the TARDA board to pursue a particular activity. I'm not sure what the compromises can be. There can be no compromise on the property tax. There can be additional service levels or something else given to the township, but not a compromise. And one of the trustees voted, because he's quoted in the paper, I don't want to pay the tax. So that is not something that there's any middle ground about. However, service levels are. So I'm sure that it goes without saying to the TARDA board that they're going to work to do that. But if you can pass a voice vote that you want them to do it, you can direct the clerk to send a letter to do that. We can have Mr. Ramsdell back in here. You can talk to him about directly whatever you choose to do. But it did give some breathing room to find a solution. So in the paper, it sounded like the statement was to find a different solution.
Yeah. My discussions with the trustees indicated they were unable to develop an alternative plan on a timely basis. And frankly, are concerned that they'll be able to come up with an alternative plan.
And funding for whatever the plan is.
And they felt uncomfortable going to the ballot with a promise that they'd come up with a plan when they didn't feel comfortable that they were going to be able to do that. So I don't know. I don't know exactly where they are on this. I think my understanding is the intent is still to go back on the ballot in November with and either have a plan in hand or represent that they're not going to have a plan. Because they won't be able to develop one. I think it would be I think it'd be prudent for TARDA to continue to keep that dialogue open.
Absolutely.
And I don't know if we need a letter from us. I know next time I see Tom Ramsdell, I'm going to tell him that.
I can certainly.
I told him when he was here.
You can all contact him. I'll certainly contact him now that we've had this discussion and relay that direction to him. But he is willing to come back here and talk to you whenever you want him to come back. But you can all call him. Certainly you can call him, Sandy. Mm-hmm. Sounds like Doug's going to talk to him when he sees him. All right. Any further items for City Council to consider this evening? That's the end of our agenda. I do bring your attention to information item C, which is the notice of the February 10th Committee of the Whole meeting to be held at 7:30 a.m. I believe on February the 20th. No, 10th, excuse me. 7:30 a.m. on February the 10th in this room. Being no further business, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands as adjourned until its next regularly scheduled meeting on Monday, February the 6th at 7:30 p.m. Thank you all for attending. Okay.